Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Atlanta, what's going on? Did you get what you wanted over the weekend? I did. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Mark Zeno is in for my man, Mike Bell. And I have to tell you guys.
You know how desperate you guys must be to have me here.
Bell is taking a little time off for, you know, the holiday. I will tell you, he was frustrated because he wanted to see the Michael Penix debut. Everybody watched it, though. And listen, I was very pleased and excited about what this holds, what it potentially is going to do for our football team. But the main thing was we needed to get back on the winning track. Like, we needed to find a way out of this rut that we had been in. And, Zeno, I'm not going to break down, you know, the numbers and tell you it was the most spectacular rookie debut or any of that. What I will tell you is he can play the position. And he looked poised, and he looked like he's ready to do it. And what that means for this team moving forward over the next couple of weeks, guys, we know this. Now Tampa Bay lost. Dallas did us a favor last night. Great. We are back in first place because we own the tiebreaker. All we got to do is win out. We're going to get into the playoffs like we said we would all along. But I do think as we discuss Michael Penix and what this means long term, and Zeno, we were having this conversation, and we'll bring it to the air here in a bit, but what this means long term for Kirk Cousins, et cetera, all I know is this team responded, yes, you get two pick sixes. That mattered. Defensively, it helped huge. It was huge. But for Michael Penix, what you wanted to see is how in command he was. And for me, he was in command. The ball came out in a timely fashion. He was hitting guys. You know, he had six drops yesterday. Six. So what does that mean? It means, hey, he was hitting guys, and they weren't holding on to it, specifically Kyle Pitts, who that's a whole nother conversation.
My God.
But the Falcons win. And I think more than anything, as a Falcon fan, you should feel really good, if not just about right now, about the future.
Of course. I mean, there was nothing about yesterday with Penix's debut not to like. I mean, we can admit it was against barely an NFL squad. It was like a preseason game, the way the Giants are. They're an embarrassment of football, the Giants are. I haven't seen a team that bad in a long, long time. Regardless. It wasn't about that for Michael Penix, right? Because the Giants' defense actually has been pretty decent. He never looked out of control. He never looked like he didn't have command. He never looked like he was nervous. He seemed very calm and poised. You know, but you knew that going in. That was always Penix's deal. You know, I mean, remember, he's not a 21, 22-year-old kid. He's 25, 26 when he got drafted. He played a lot of college ball. And, you know,
He's 24, about to be 25.
24, yes. 25. Sorry, yeah. Thank you. But my point is, he's older than most of the, you know, guys who are drafted out of college nowadays. So, the point simply is I think we knew that about him, and he kind of showed it, and he made everybody feel calm and relaxed, and, you know, step one was very good. There was nothing not to like about yesterday.
All right, so, and again, I can't chalk this up to the competition. It's the NFL. You saw upsets yesterday. You saw teams show up that should not have. I mean, I don't know if anybody had the Commanders coming back after being down two touchdowns to the Eagles and winning that football game.
When Jalen Hurston went down, I live bet it. Yeah.
Except for Zeno, who live bets. But you know, that's the National Football League. Does this make you feel better about our team? That is what I want to know from you. 404-726-0929. Chris, let's put up a poll. And by the way, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, guys. We'll be here tomorrow as well. And then the rest of the week, Christmas holiday. But we're talking about the Falcons on a Falcon Monday. And we will have Coach Raheem Morris, the coach's show, at 6 o'clock tonight. So we're out of here just a little bit early. But does this make you feel better about our football team? And Zeno, that's what I want to know from you. And then I want to know, what is your malfunction with why you feel the way you do with what's going on with this team?
I don't feel anything. I feel wonderful. Everything is great. What was the first question again?
Does it make you feel better about our team?
Sure. I mean, okay. Objectively.
What do you mean?
Let me ask you a question. If the Kirk Cousins that played the last four games had played yesterday against the Giants, do the Falcons still win? I think the answer is still yes. That's how bad the Giants are, right?
So you're not going to give Penix his due?
Don't do that. Don't start putting words in my mouth.
If Cousins played, we would have won.
You're not giving Penix credit. No, that's not what I'm doing. Okay? Stop twisting things around.
I don't do that.
Am I giving Penix? Yes, I just gave Penix all of his flowers. He looked really good yesterday.
Well, then why are you bringing up Cousins?
Well, because you're asking me if it makes me feel better. You didn't beat an NFL team yesterday.
Oh, come on.
Like, you could have quarterbacked the Falcons yesterday and you would have won. Hi. The two pick sixes were more than the Giants scored the entire game. You didn't have to do a lick of offense yesterday. Your offense could have scored zero, you still would have beat the Giants.
Okay, so with that said, then So you're not ready to say that you feel good about what you saw with Michael Penix because the team they played was so bad. That's what you're willing to say.
You're good. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying you're going to get a step up in class next week. Okay, against a team that actually has something to play for, that isn't actively trying to lose and get the number one overall draft pick, that isn't starting a quarterback who's not an NFL quarterback. So you're going to get a different level of competition next week on the road. It was smart with the Falcons. Look, if you were going to bench, you know, if there was an opportunity, put it this way. If the Falcons had to play the Commanders on the road this past Sunday and the Giants at home the following week, I still believe Kirk Cousins gets a start. I don't think you throw Michael Penix in the road in D.C. for his first ever start against a team that's better than you are.
We had seen enough. It had to happen.
I think the decision might have been different. It worked out timing-wise that you got a soft opponent that's got a bad quarterback that's, you know, playing for nothing in your own building. So it made his first start less pressure-filled. Like, there was enough that went on that you probably were going to win the game regardless.
So you don't give him credit for what he did?
Again, you keep doing that. I gave him all of his flowers. I'm not going to sit here and say that.
Well, then why do you keep bringing up the ands and buts?
You're asking me if I
Michael
feel better.
Penix.
No, I'm not bringing up anything wrong. You asked me if I feel better about the team.
Well, the you kid didn't was ask poised. Me if I, the kid looked the part.
You're not,
and yet
I'm
you
not
continue
taking the bait.
To tell
no,
me
I'm
why.
I'm not taking the bait.
He would not have been as successful if all these other things weren't in play.
I never said that. I didn't say he wouldn't have been as successful. I think the decision would have been different had you played a different opponent on the road. And I think that measuring anything against a team like the New York Giants doesn't really give you an accurate measure. For all intents and purposes, that was like the Giants played like preseason football against the Falcons.
Yeah.
I mean, so it has nothing to do with Michael. Everything Michael Penix was asked to do, he did very well.
Okay.
There's no question about it.
That's what I want to hear.
You're asking me, do I feel better about the team?
Do you?
And their chances to make the playoffs?
Yes.
I don't know that yet.
Why not?
I mean, Carolina just
you got
beat
better
Arizona
quarterback
yesterday.
Play yesterday. What are you talking about? You got a guy who didn't turn it over. That was a Kyle Pitts turnover.
Of course.
You got better production from the position that has been lacking the last 5 weeks.
Well, you didn't have to clear a very high bar over the last 4 weeks.
Well, and that's the thing. You talk about bad teams. Are the Raiders a bad team?
Yes.
What did Kirk Cousins do against the Raiders? Jack. So when
just
you talk about
by.
But when you talk about these bad teams, that's the National Football League, and don't get caught slipping. Last night, the Bucs lost to what I think is a bad team. Nobody's talking about it.
That's a good team.
No. Nobody's talking about it. Cowboys have all these injuries. They've won four of their last five. Nobody's talking about it because they have been eliminated from the playoffs, right?
That's still a really good – I mean, even with Cooper Rush is playing some of the best football he's played in his career.
Well, now all of a sudden people
after
are saying –
after 4 or 5 weeks, you start to see the guy finally get his legs under him. That's been a good offense for the last 3 or 4 weeks.
All right, so with that said, though, everybody's been on Baker, including you, talking about how well he's been playing.
I was shocked.
That is a game Tampa doesn't lose. You cannot lose that game last night against a depleted Cowboys team.
Again, Rashad White, you know, just, dude, ball security, man. Come on. Like, I would have loved to have seen, if he doesn't fumble that ball, does Tampa Bay get in field goal? I think they do. I think they probably do get in field goal position.
Interception was bad, though. I mean, like
he didn't play well last night, Baker.
He did not play well. And this is the point that I'm getting to. Like, those are the games where you go, oh, this team's so much better. Yes, we're better than the Giants, but you still have to go prove it. And for Penix to step in and do the job he did, to throw the football around the way he did, yes, they relied on the run game. Bijan had another great game, 2 touchdowns. Defense stepped up. We're getting sacks. They're doing all the things. But what I'm telling you is it looked like it should. That is what you should be focused on.
Well, okay. I mean, again, do you? If I take away 2 defensive touchdowns and you get a 20-7 game, does things feel different?
Yeah, I still feel good about Penix.
That's what I'm saying. I still Penix performance aside, we're not characterizing his performance. You're asking me about the team. That's why I keep going back to this. You take away 2 defensive touchdowns, a 34-7 blowout looks a lot different, 20-7 in a game that the Giants are in the entire time.
Yes.
Because your offense didn't necessarily produce overall at a high level. Some of that is because it's a rookie quarterback in his first start. That's understandable.
I'm going to tell you, though, but if you're going to do the ifs, ands, and buts, then Kyle Pitts catches that ball. They punch that in before the half. It's a different game.
Yes, 100%. I mean, so that's fair. 100% fair.
So I think when we start talking about, like, would this team have won with Cousins at quarterback yesterday because the Giants are so bad?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, that's fine. But I don't know that because he's been so mistake-laden that I didn't trust it. And yesterday, the kid came out, and I keep saying that. He's a young man, you know, obviously, but we're calling him a kid because he's new and he's playing. But we're talking about Michael Penix. He came out, Zeno, and threw the ball around the way that we wanted him to, and I thought he exploited what they allowed him to do. They didn't ask him to do too much. He threw a couple of deep balls. We got a penalty on one. I'm fine with the game plan. I agree with you, this week is a different deal with the Commanders. Guys, this may be a shootout. I mean, you saw it yesterday with the Commanders and the Eagles. 404-726-0929. What's up?
You know, this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This weird situation exists. You ready for this?
What's that?
Let's just say, for argument's sake, in week 18, the Vikings beat the Lions. Do you realize the Lions' first round playoff game would be on the road here in Atlanta against the Falcons?
Isn't that crazy?
Where the Lions would be double digit favorites.
It's crazy. And their offense is a juggernaut. It has been all season.
Like, that situation actually exists. The Lions would be like 9.5 point favorites here in Atlanta against Michael Penix and the Falcons in the first round of the playoffs.
I just want to get there. I just want to
have a chance.
They better
get there. Because remember, we said over the summer, what did I tell you? 10-7 and division were the absolute bottom floor basement. Now, that is all still on the table. How I got there, you didn't care. I don't really care. It's not pretty how they're going to get there, but they are going to finish 10-7, and they are going to win a division, and they are going to the playoffs. So they said what we needed them to do.
Poll questions up at Dukes and Bell 929. We want to vote. Want you to vote, guys. And, again, I just want to know, do you feel better about the team with what you saw yesterday? And it's simple, guys. Falcons are back 100%. 50-50, good, but need more. Meaningless result. How do you feel? We're going to come back. We got the daily download on the way. Mark Zeno is in for Mike today. It's Dukes and Bell. It is interesting to see all the text, tweets, and people hitting us up on social media.
I'm getting bad advice on social media.
404-726-0929. Zeno is in for Mike today. We're talking about the Falcons win. It is a Falcon Monday. Rich says, it sounds like to me this dude, Mark Zeno.
I'm a dude?
Is a Kirk Cousins apologist. Sounds to me as if, though, he doesn't believe that Penix should be playing. Am I wrong? And I'm going to say it with my chest. He's asking me. Listen, Rich, I don't know. I don't know if he's an apologist. What I do know is it looked better yesterday.
It couldn't have looked worse.
It looked better.
I mean, can you objectively agree with that, that it was really hard for it to look worse?
We didn't know how it would look.
Well, that's true.
Everybody assumes that you just put the next guy in and you roll. Guys, it doesn't happen like that. What are you talking about? You didn't know. I didn't know. We didn't know how it would look. The kid could have got in there.
Penix.
And been nervous. He could have thrown an early pick. Hell, we didn't know. He didn't. He looked really good. Let's give him props on that and say, hey, it looked better yesterday. That is what I know. How far this team can go with Michael Penix on the center, that I do not know, because I don't know if they're going to take the reins off of him allow him to throw the football down the field and maybe have to throw it 35 or 40 times in one of these games. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Again, with the playoffs on the line and everything else and the margin for error is slim, I don't know how wise that is. We don't know. I mean, you know, it could be dangerous. It could be beneficial. Who knows? But Richie keeps hitting me back. Guys, let me be clear. And you heard me say this before. You cannot defend Kirk Cousins' play. It's indefensible. There's nothing to say. It was bad. It was bad, and something had to give.
Sure.
There's no other way around it. But the question of what did Penix do versus how do I feel better about the team in the short term and the long term are two different questions. And they have two different answers. I feel great about Penix. I didn't expect any less than what I saw from Penix yesterday. He was going to be in command. He wasn't going to make mistakes, right? He's a smart, heady football player. And he's got a great, you know, composure about himself. We saw that in college. So I didn't think there was any reason to believe anything was going to be all that crazy, you know, wild. And you knew that they were going to lean heavily on Bijan. You knew that they weren't going to ask him to take too many chances down the field, right? Like, these were things that you knew. Penix lived up to the billing and did what was expected of him and got the team to win. Does it have to be any fancier than that?
404-726-0929. What do you guys think? And by the way, we're going to open up the phone line so you can hit us up, okay? Because I do want to talk to you, and I do want to know how you feel. Because, listen, we've all gone and been on this roller coaster over the last few weeks. This is what you wanted. Many of you wanted to see this. My partner wanted to see this. He's been calling for it, right? But he also said that we shouldn't have drafted him, which is the irony in this whole situation.
He and I actually agree on that.
Well, here's the irony in that. You say that until we got into this situation. Well, if we didn't have a plan, everybody would have been complaining about where... It's not any bait. It's the truth.
Not doing it.
Where you would have gone if Cousins struggled like this, I don't know who the backup would have been, but you guys would have been complaining about the fact that, well, they should have drafted a quarterback. Those same people now are saying, I'm so glad we got Penix. So you can't have it both ways.
No, you can't have it both ways.
You can't have it both ways.
You can't. Process over results for me, though. I thought the offseason was a flawed process.
Explain.
I would have had no problem with this team drafting Michael Penix 8th overall had they not signed Kirk Cousins. None. Zero. It would have been a smart move and going all in. But you can't sit here and sell me on the plan was for Michael Penix to play this year, because they told you it wasn't the plan. They flat out said it was not the plan for him to play. He was not supposed to see the field this year. And probably next year either, for that matter. Because if things had gone well the way they were supposed to, if the Kirk Cousins of the last 6 years in Minnesota had showed up, Michael Penix doesn't see the field. The plan wasn't, well, just in case Kirk Cousins goes in the tank, we have this young quarterback. That was never part of the plan. The plan was Green Bay Packers, right? The plan was Kansas City. That's what they told us.
Was that, well, timeout.
No. They actually referenced the Green Bay Packers in the offseason.
No, they've said
which made
teams.
Aaron Rodgers wait 3 years,
they've said
which made
teams.
Jordan Love wait 3 years.
Well, they were trying to explain.
They literally said the term Green Bay. That was the plan.
They were trying to explain to people who were having a hard time.
It was a flawed process.
That there are other teams, including the Kansas City Chiefs, okay? There are various teams who have done this process of drafting a quarterback and getting him ready for some point in the future for him to take over. That was that discussion. They weren't saying we are them,
no,
and therefore we're going to do it like that.
But they were modeling the decision after what the other organizations had did.
But let me ask you this. This is sports. Things change.
Of course.
And when they do, you have to adjust. You cannot, and I said this last week, you cannot not be flexible and be a hard head, okay, or a hard ass.
Sure, with new information, you have to adjust.
That's what they did, you know?
Sure.
And I'm fine with it.
Like I am too.
The idea that they weren't going to play the kid he shouldn't have played is ridiculous. Things change. The guy you counted on completely choked this thing away for you, and then you said, well, the new information is we got to get something else out of this quarterback position, and therefore we're going to insert him sooner than we want to. I have no issues with that.
No.
The point is, though, you had an option, and many of you didn't even want that option to begin with. Now you're glad you have it.
Okay. I'm not certainly I'm not changing my stance on I thought drafting Penix after signing Cousins was a mistake. I had no problem with you drafting Penix overall. I'm not changing my opinion on that. But where am I on Mondays when I'm not sitting across from you?
You're asking Coach questions.
Yeah, I'm there every Monday. I talk to Coach every week. So, you know.
So do we.
I have to drive an hour to get there. You don't. There's a big difference.
So do we. No, we're there every week, face to face.
Oh, are you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. So
I'm
yes.
not in the know on anything. I say all this to say just the point is that, like, you know, at no point did I ever say Kirk Cousins should remain the starter. And I never said that. And I've been there for the last month and they've been fielding questions on. And this is the exact scenario that I said was going to happen in the offseason. The minute Kirk Cousins has three bad games, you're going to hear questions about the guy you just paid $180 million to.
Six bad weeks.
By the way, Carl, now.
So the point simply is.
Hold on, Turtle. Sorry. I can't hear you, Turtle. Sorry. Turtle was trying to.
Are you going on? I didn't know if that was in the ear or not.
Go ahead. What's up?
I said, by the way, now we know how.
Your mic. Hold on, Turtle. We want people to hear you. You jumped in, but I want people to hear you. Your mic's kind of.
Get a different piece of equipment there.
But you said if he had three bad weeks.
You were going to field these questions all season long.
Yeah.
But weren't they
fielding them? Or, like, I got to be honest with you, and this is the point that I'm getting to about us being up there. I'm not putting that in your face.
I'm simply saying,
Mike said to me 5 weeks ago, I'm going to ask him about Cousins. And potentially playing Penix. And what we did was, we said, Coach, is there a package or something you guys are going to put Penix in, maybe getting some playing time? And Coach said, no, listen, Penix is a pocket passer. We have no packages for him. He's not going to come in and run RPO. That's not the plan. We're going to play Kirk. And Coach said to us, he deserves, and I think he said this to you, deserves an opportunity to work his way out of this box, right? To work his way out of this rut.
Sure.
And so they continued to play him. But in the process, every week, as we were losing...
It didn't get better.
No, and we kept saying, Coach, you, any plans to put Penix in? Nope. Any plan? So then things changed. He got to a point where he couldn't deny what was happening anymore, and then we get this change. What I'm telling you is, yesterday was good.
Yes.
It could have been completely opposite, and we could be here today going, holy crap. We got a vet who's struggling, and we got a kid that we expected to be really good who didn't play worth a damn. That's not the conversation today.
Okay, I mean, can we be objective for a second? And
I'm always objective.
And just take yesterday and his performance and not try and extrapolate it out to the next 2 weeks or the next year or the next 5 years of his career. It's a little early to start saying anything definitive. Is that fair?
That's fair. I don't think you can.
Let's not start with the grand. We found our guy. We got our guy. You know, the plan worked out. We don't know any of that yet. You just don't. You'll get a little bit of a taste when you get a step up in class next week.
Yeah.
Against a more legitimate opponent, one that actually has an offense that, you know, can find the thing called the end zone. So things are going to be a little bit different. That doesn't mean Penix is going to play bad. It just means that it's too early to say anything definitive about Michael Penix. Let's take it 1 week at a time, one game at a time, and as it stands right now, you're going to be starting a rookie quarterback in the playoffs.
This is true.
Right? I mean, it's not going to be the only one. Jaden Daniels is going to start a game.
Right. But he's been playing all season.
Bo Nix is going to start a game in the playoffs. But these guys have been playing, you know. And we don't even need to have the discussion right now, because I don't think there's any real point in having it about Kirk Cousins and what the future is and where it goes. It's you have all offseason to dissect that. You really do. I mean, could the Falcons still miss the playoffs? Yes. I don't want them to. I don't think they will. But the point simply is like, let's just take this one week at a time right now and figure out where things are. I don't think we need to have all the answers to every single question at this point.
That I agree with. And that is why I want to focus on yesterday. And yesterday was good. It was a good start for what we hope is a long and prosperous career for a franchise quarterback that you picked early in the draft and had high expectations for. So, you know, for Matt Ryan, guys, we said this last week. When Matt throws his first pass and throws a touchdown, right? His first pass ever as a Falcon.
Michael Jenkins?
Correct. Everybody's like, we got one. Everybody's not that fortunate to have a first pass thrown for a touchdown. But a performance, what Penix did yesterday in being on time, finding, you know, Darnell Mooney, who all of a sudden had disappeared and yesterday led the Falcons with 82 yards, getting guys, and it wasn't one, he wasn't locked in on one guy. He was moving the ball and doing what they asked him to do. But I also thought the ball came out on time. Zeno, that is what we've been missing from Kirk.
Yeah.
He was debating in his own head about whether or not he should be releasing the ball. And yesterday, Penix was like, one, two, three, out. And that's all we've been wanting to see. So if he is going to be able to do those things, be efficient, not turn it over. And again, the turnover was not his yesterday. I'm not even, that shouldn't even be on his stat sheet. It hit him right in the hands and Pitts fumbled the damn thing. But I think that's what you're going to need. And if you're just saying, are we good enough to win in the playoffs with that kind of quarterback play? I don't know. I think the playoffs is different.
You have to realize you're playing either the Lions or the Vikings in the playoffs.
It's different.
They are markedly better teams than the Falcons.
They are, but I will tell you this. The score with the Minnesota Vikings was 21-21 until it wasn't. It wasn't like they were blowing us out. All of a sudden, that became a lost situation where you were down, and now, again, not Kirk's fault. But he comes into the game, he's down, you know, he's down 21 again all of a sudden. I think we can play with the Vikings. We showed that there on their home field. You're right. Lions are banged up, but they continue to win. I will tell you this. I'm not necessarily fearing any of these teams, but you're right. They're differently offensively way that they're built. And you're going to have to score points to win.
And that's the point. Like, you're going against both of those teams. Forget what the you're asking this offense now with Michael Penix to be able to score 27 to 30 points to keep up with those offenses because, hey, at this point, is it fair to say that the defense is not good enough to stop the Lions or the Vikings from scoring close to 30? I would say that's fair. But the thing is this. And here's the word that I'll continue to use. What Michael Penix did yesterday was stabilize, right? Things were calm. They never looked out of control. They never looked out of sorts. You never sort of looked like the offense didn't look disjointed as it did at times this year. So if Penix gives you that stabilization on the offense at this point, that's all you really can ask for. Don't make mistakes. Stay within yourself. Try to make a couple of plays. And he made some really good plays with his legs in the pocket. You have to give him credit for that. But what's the ceiling? It's way too early to try to even figure out. We don't know yet.
Allison says, put them up. See Duke. Zeno, give out your Twitter handle, by the way.
At Mark Zeno. MarkZinno.
All right.
Not with a C.
We do not call it X. Follow the show at Dukes and Bell 929. Zeno's in for Mike today. Allison, we love her. She's a great Falcon fan. She says, get Zeno straight. Offense moved the ball. We didn't turn it over. Penix made good decisions. It's a solid first start. Good base to build on. I think Allison is right. That's where we should be right now when we think about this. And Zeno, I don't want to think about 4 or 5 years down the road. I don't even care about that. I'm worried about next week. How good can he play against the Washington Commanders? Allison, thank you so much. Appreciate it. What are you going to say?
No, I mean, again, if you average 5.1 yards per play, that's not a high average when you talk about moving the football. That's what they averaged yesterday, 5.1 yards per play. Like, that would put you at, like, 20th in the league if you did that every game. They moved, again, it was stabilized. It wasn't anything grand. You know, like, I mean, I just want to keep it in context to where it is. And I think stabilize is the right word to use because everything just didn't feel like it was chaos as it felt at times in the last 4 games with Cousins.
Yeah, that chaos, that's a good word to use. All right, we're coming back. It's a Falcon Monday, guys. Big O is here. Turtle's here, executive producing. Zeno's here. We're here for you. We're going to talk to you on the phones coming up, but we'll come back. We'll get to a daily download because there was a lot of other stuff that happened over the weekend. A lot of you were upset about the college football playoff, and I don't know why. It's Dukes and Bell. It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're talking about the Falcons, Michael Penix, all things that happened over the weekend. And one of the things that happened and we're going to discuss is the college football playoff. For those of you who don't know, I do a national show on Odyssey. It's called Infinity Sports Network. And I was talking Sunday morning, coming off of these playoff games, Zeno, about the perception that all these teams that lost were frauds, right? That's the perception, that SMU fraud. You know, Penn State winning the way that they did against Indiana, fraud. And my whole thing with this is, and I don't know where you stand, but guys, we've seen blowouts in these college football playoff games for the last 15 years. I don't know what you guys have been watching. I don't know what you've been paying attention to, and I can give you the list, including Alabama and Georgia.
Yeah.
Like, there have been blowouts.
The blowouts.
So the idea that these teams didn't deserve to be there is wrong.
Exactly. The same thing about the NCAA tournament. Your performance in the tournament does not devalidate your entrance into it. They're two different samples. So because SMU got beaten badly doesn't mean they didn't belong in this tournament. They're two different things, okay? So the idea that you want to put some sort of, you know, connection between the two of them is silly. Your performance in the playoffs does not validate your existence getting there, right? I mean, that's
correct.
That's not reality. So, again, I'm as somebody who is steadfast against expansion, I hated the idea of it. I knew that you didn't need more teams to figure out who the champion was, because in reality, there's only four or five teams every year that legitimately have a chance to win a thing. So we haven't changed that whole concept. What I don't like about expansion, what I didn't like, and you know, some of the easiest changes, fine. You want to give automatic bids to the four power conferences, fine. Don't give automatic buys. You got to get rid of the automatic buy. Like if Clemson was 16th in the ranking, they get moved to 12th, right? So that if you're anywhere below 12, you're the bottom two or three seeds, and that's it. And the next thing they need to do is reseed.
I agree.
They need to reseed. This is ridiculous. I mean, Oregon got no break whatsoever. Being the number one seed earned them nothing but the hardest game in the damn playoffs.
Ohio State.
Because the winner of that game might win the whole damn thing.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, I do agree with you on that. But if you are just simply saying, hey, Alabama should have gotten in. Hell, South Carolina should have gotten in with the way that they finished the season. Ole Miss should have gotten in. No, the resume didn't say that they should have gotten in. Once you get in, and if you get beat, Dukesism, let me see, then that's fine. You lose. But they're not the first teams to be blown out in the playoffs, whether it's been the BCS, the 4, or now the 12. 404-726-0929. Turtle's in here because his mic's not acting up. What did you want to add to the conversation, Turtle?
Oh, well, I was just going back to the Falcons conversation,
Carl.
Let's do it. First off, clearly Zeno doesn't listen to the radio show.
What are you talking about?
We got a problem here. We got a guy filling in on a radio show that he doesn't listen to.
What do you mean?
I don't think I'm allowed to. The guy who sits here doesn't want me to.
Let bygones be. While he's not here, let bygones be bygones.
My bygone went a long time ago. Trust me.
It's very true.
What do you mean, Turtle? What are you talking about?
He didn't know that for the past 3 years we've been going up to Flowery Branch every week and having a face-to-face with a coach and players?
Well, here's the deal. We're not there on usually the day after, which is Monday.
Right.
He's there. And we hear him. And I've texted him. Zeno and I, we have a great relationship, guys. Listen, the bottom line is, I always tell him when I think, you know, he's asked or followed up on a great question, and I'm like, Z, great job. I just told him a couple of weeks ago, he was asking Coach about going forward and not going forward. This was during this losing streak. And Coach acknowledged, hey, I'm trying to explain to you guys why, you know, my processes of why I'm going forward, why I'm not. But I thought you did an excellent job. We're not there. So he doesn't see us on Mondays. Then we go up on Wednesdays. He's not there. So he doesn't see us on Wednesdays, and that's why I think there's a mix-up why he thought we were here. We're not here.
I think his problem is I'm just not listening
on
Wednesdays. So
not once over the past 3 years has he listened between the hours of 2 and 7
I got you.
On a Wednesday.
Well, I can't mute half the show.
All right.
Happy holidays.
I feel you on this. Thank you for bringing that up, Turtle. I wasn't quite understanding
so sensitive
what you were
that
saying.
I just said that.
But I get it now. I know what you're saying.
And second of all.
Yeah.
Zeno, come on.
What?
Come on. After the 5-6 week period that the Atlanta Falcons just went through, the audacity, the nerve to come in here and say anything other than positivity and unicorns and rainbows out your front today is absolutely unacceptable.
Tell me one negative thing I said.
You are framing this Michael Penix discussion as if
it could have been anybody.
Oh yeah, you know,
it could have been anybody.
We just went out there and he just won his first start.
You said I could have played quarterback.
The team had two pick sixes, put up 34 points, and it just is a ho hum thing as they fight scratch and claw for their first playoff berth in 7 years. Come on, man.
I didn't say anything negative at all.
No, Mark.
I mean, I didn't.
Mark.
Who said that? Was that?
That's Coach.
Is that
no,
wrong?
Mark.
That's Coach.
That's Raheem.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
I have bad info.
I don't know how he found that.
I mean, look. The
no,
point,
Mark. Yeah.
I love Ra. I genuinely do. We have a great relationship.
But why,
again, let me be clear.
The pragmatism is unnecessary.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's unnecessary.
I'm sorry. Reality isn't the world you live in. It's the world I live in.
Today is allowed to be an emotionally driven day.
So, thank you, Turtle. Are you coming in here to say what I've been saying is that he is being negative about the Falcons and that this start from Michael Penix was eh? It's more than that. This is a moment.
Symbolism.
This is a moment.
Symbolism.
And more than anything, for Falcon fans, we needed to see it. We needed to experience this because we didn't know.
You want an experience? Go to Disneyland. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
No, Mark.
Tell me you've placed way too much money on sports wagering without telling me you've placed way too much money on sports wagering.
I mean, I tell you very bluntly.
All of the emotion, all of the love, all of the joy. Yeah. It's just pragmatism, man. That's all it is.
Okay. If I sat here and told you we found our quarterback of the future, you're just going to sit there and nod yes?
No, of course not.
Okay, well,
Mark.
Thank you. If you're not, then what am I not being optimistic about?
But there's a
I used
range.
A very good word. You said it was a good word. I stabilized. Less chaos.
It was less chaos.
Good thing.
It was less chaos.
There's a range of emotion between we found our quarterback for the next 15 years and I'm just going to sit here and be pragmatic because I refuse to give in to any sort of emotion.
Speaking of context, and Turtle,
okay,
thanks,
but, so,
thanks for coming in and clarify because we couldn't hear you in there and your mic was... we hadn't picked a quarterback in the first round since...
Matt Ryan.
Right. Because of that, this feels different. The Desmond Ridder thing... And I'm not talking about how he played. I'm talking about where we drafted him. There wasn't this kind of excitement. We haven't had this kind of excitement since Matt Ryan. The difference is it's been so long, and we hadn't experienced a rookie guy stepping into this situation and playing at all, that we, as a fan base, needed this. And I think more than anything, Zeno, that is the part where a lot of people are coming at you and saying, man, what are you talking about? Like, that is the part where you go, we needed this. As a fan base to say, he can do this. And I think what you have said is, and you started the show by saying, hey, if Cousins played, we would have won too. That's unfair. That's not your framing.
You could have started Tyrod Taylor and you would have won.
Well, you might be right, but we didn't. And that's the problem. You've got to give credit where it's due.
I did give credit where it was due. I said nothing bad about his play. I was very complimentary of his play, and I'll continue to be complimentary of his play until it's not complimentary.
But what?
There is no but. There's no but after it. But what is in front of you is still remains to be seen. Again, I don't. It's too grand to say that we know what the future is. Take it one week at a time, and let's figure out what the rest of the season looks like. I'm curious to see next week.
Let me ask you this.
But he didn't throw for 300 yards and four touchdowns.
Well, I didn't expect him to. Nobody did.
I didn't either. Let me ask you this. Do you feel like any of these rookie quarterbacks are going to be the franchise quarterbacks that those teams drafted them to be from what you've seen? And at what point did that happen? For me, 5 weeks in, I knew Jaden could play. Didn't take long, right? 5 weeks in, I'm going, he sees the field. He's different. Don't know how many games they're going to win because sometimes it's bigger than the quarterback.
Right.
People are down on Caleb Williams. Not completely understanding his situation. Well, Caleb Williams.
Here's the difference. Like Caleb Williams' first five games are probably better than his last five games overall. Conversely, go look at the other two guys. Bo Nix's first five games didn't look like an answer.
Correct.
All of a sudden, dude looks like an answer. Guess what? You know who might end up being the best quarterback of this entire class? You want me to blow your mind away? It might be Drake May in New England.
It may be.
Because his first five games, you didn't think anything. That dude can play.
Well, they waited to play him.
That dude can play.
They waited to play him, and then they said he wasn't the answer until what?
Until the last 3 or 4 weeks when you found out the dude can ball.
So
this might be one of the better quarterback draft classes we've ever seen.
So my point is with Penix, to your point about, okay, we don't know, but
you're not going to know until next year.
I don't know. I doubt that. Listen, if you're telling me
you doubt that you're going to know it, or you
no.
doubt that,
if you're telling me we went out, he plays well next week, we get into the playoffs, he plays well, we win a game or two, I already know. We won't take until next year if those things play
again,
out.
You just flew in the face of what you just said about Caleb Williams, because the first five games you looked like you knew, and now you're not really so sure.
Well, this point in the season is different, though. Caleb's not going to the playoffs.
No.
If Michael Penix goes into the playoffs and plays well in this spot in which he's been thrust into, you got to look at him completely different.
I think he will play well. I think he's good. When in their playoff game, I think he's going to play well. But I don't make grand conclusions based off of 3 or 4 games or 5 games, even if it is a playoff game. You know, like I'm not going to sit here. 1 year of Baker Mayfield in Cleveland. All thought he was a dude. Then what happened? He had to hit on hard times and go to two different teams and then finally settle back into Tampa Bay, where I didn't think he was going to be that good. And guess what? Baker Mayfield can play. He's actually decently good. Like, that's a top 12 quarterback in this league. You know? I mean, so the path to these things to, you know, yes, we got our franchise guy and no, we don't, sometimes they're not always straight. Alex Smith was another one.
No,
Alex Smith bombed out in San Francisco until Harbaugh got there, and then he was good, and then he was consistent in KC. And guess, I mean, you know, he ended up with a long career. It's just, we don't need to get into the hyperbole of what he is and what he isn't. Take it a game at a time at this point and figure out if you can win games with him at this point. And if the answer is yes, you can win games with him, then he continues to survive and stay in this position as long as you can continue to win games. But guess what happens? And this is what happened to Kirk, okay? Because you can win games with him until you couldn't. Right? Now, again, his play was a big reason why you didn't win games, and the interceptions were, you know, I say all interceptions are not created equal, but it became detrimental. Like, the team was losing games because the turnovers were such in bad spots and hurt you so much that you couldn't overcome them. But I was telling the guys before the show, Josh Allen was labeled a turnover machine.
He was, and he did. A couple years ago, he led the league in turnovers.
Right, and so, you know what happens? Like, theoretically, okay, and this is going to bother people when I say this, there's a world where Kirk Cousins plays next year for somebody else and doesn't turn the ball over, because that's kind of the ebb and flow of this position and what's around you. Turnovers are things that happen sometimes that are not 100% of the quarterback's doing. I know we blame the quarterback. We didn't blame Penix yesterday for his, but guess what? It still says one in the INT column of Michael Penix. It's just the reality of it.
It does, but I also think when Josh led the league in turnovers, he was pressing and he owned it. And right now,
well, he's trying to do too much. Yeah.
And so was Cousins.
And now look at him this year.
And so was Cousins. But the difference between those two, and the difference I think between Michael Penix and Kirk Cousins, is Cousins, or should I say Penix, and the physical tools. You see it. He's got a much better.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yes.
He's got a much better. Josh Allen is a physical freak. That is the fundamental difference.
Like, do we have to look any further for what a first round quarterback is than Sam Darnold? Bombed out in New York with Adam Gase. Couldn't figure it out.
Who had that stunk on the scorecard?
All right, stunk in Carolina, a rehab year in San Francisco, and now same system. Not a guy's going to get it. $35 million next year based off of one good year in Minnesota where those lucky folks keep winning one-score games.
Yeah. Okay, but here's the thing. And let me just say this before I exit stage left of the studio here. Thank you for the time, boys. Why are we talking about that?
Anytime, Stakey.
We won the game yesterday. We put up 34 points. We scored 2 touchdowns on defense. And yet here we are lining out scenarios where Penix is on 3 different teams in 4 years.
No, we're not.
Why?
Again, you said don't be pragmatic. I'm being pragmatic about what the future is. I'm not being, as far as next week, we're going into a game with a quarterback that we can win with. Does it have to be any more grand than that? Is that not enough flowers?
No, that's all we need. That's all we've wanted, is a chance to know that we've got a chance to win. We had lost that with Cousins,
yes,
under center.
And that's the point.
We had lost that. We're coming back. Turtle, good stuff, man. Appreciate you jumping in. I know he wanted to add something in the studio, as we said, and the mic was jacked, so we brought him in. Hey, man, coming up, we're going to get to an NFL blitz. We're going to let you hear from Raheem Morris. We'll let you hear from Michael Penix as well as we discuss this. And this is what you're doing today, right? You're saying, what did I see yesterday? How excited should I be about what we saw with our Falcons? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.